97.5 The Fanatic.
2 p.m. 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti and Dee Lynam live from beautiful New Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Watch the games, place your bets, get some great food, great drinks, and make sure you download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. So you can certainly come in here. You can enjoy the beautiful atmosphere, watch the TVs, watch all the games. There's some excitement going on there in one of the college games I'm watching right now. LSU and Auburn, I believe, is going into overtime. It's an awesome setup, but also you don't have to be here. You can be on the Parks Casino Sportsbook app and get your bets in place, whether it's XFL, NBA, NHL, soccer, whatever, soccer, any. They got a UFC. They got the UFC lines over there, too,
for me,
well.
They got the golf up there. I
you
love
like
it.
The golf? Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, lean a little bit towards it. I wouldn't even know where to begin to bet on golf. This weekend's programming is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Valentine's Day is almost here, and you want to get your girlfriend or wife a gift she will be proud to wear. Go to Family and Company Jewelers on Route 70 in Marlton, South Jersey's diamond destination. I lived right near there for about 3 years. I was in Marlton. I certainly enjoy that area.
Where are you now?
I'm in Gloucester County now, a little bit, 20 minutes away from that area. So Mantua, near Malka Hill.
Enjoy. Oh, yeah.
Love that area, too. I you know what I love, D, is seeing horses and seeing farms. And something about it. Yeah, every day we drive by a farm, and there's a for sale sign. And my girls are like, Daddy, buy that farm. I'm like, yeah, just like it's just that easy. I'm going to go buy.
Did the horses come with the farm?
And what's the upkeep for the horses and all that stuff? I will say this. With Valentine's Day coming up, I would think you would appreciate this for the fellas out there. Yeah, jewelry's always a good thing. Make sure you get something for her, not for you. Because a lot of guys are inclined to buy a selfish gift. And you may know where I'm going there with that.
Like, yes.
You're buying a little lingerie. That's for you. That's not for her. That's for you. Don't be selfish. Get something for your lady that she would appreciate. I'm lucky. Remy wants, she likes time, like to spend time. Whether for her birthday last month, she wanted to go do a couple's massage.
Oh, nice.
I was very uncomfortable. I was just uncomfortable in the room. It was odd for me, but hey, that's what she wanted. Spend some time together, coffee date, massage, whatever it is. Hey, if she's asking, I'm down with that. So, yeah, don't be selfish, fellas. Ryan in Maple Shade, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you for having me on.
Thank Certainly. You, man.
Hey, so in regards to the Sixers, I don't know whether or not I should scream or whether I should cry.
Save your
Very
tears.
Now, my biggest problems are, well, I could complain about Embiid doing his best 2000 Shaq impression, huffing and puffing up the court. I could complain about Ben Simmons being insubordinate, refusing to shoot, which disrupts our spacing and makes it more difficult to post. But really, what aggravates me the most is Brett Brown for a number of reasons. Main reason, clearly, Horford, Simmons, and Embiid should not be on the floor together. It's obvious that there's no spacing to anyone.
If you're going to put that on Brett, you should also put it on Elton. Mm-hmm. And Elton actually took responsibility yesterday for constructing this roster or putting this roster together.
Well, hey, if Elton wants to take blame, D, he can share it, but he's now...
Right.
Now
I mean, they're in it together. I'm not putting it on one or the other, but I'm just saying they spent $109 million because they thought Al Horford was the right guy to be the starting power forward and be the right backup center, an area they thought they didn't have properly addressed a year ago, knowing that Embiid misses games, and he's missed games again this year, and he is definitely a better five than you had on your roster a year ago in Amir Johnson.
Yes, and I loved when we picked up Horford. I was excited to see how he would fit in the starting lineup, but it hasn't worked, and it's been obvious. So that's where you make adjustments. That's where you say, okay, Horford, you could come in at maybe the sixth man, maybe back up Joel too, and then maybe add Furkan in and have more spacing so Joel can operate more, so Ben can operate more. to shoot. And, like, I mean, it seems like something that's obvious to me is just not happening.
Well, Ryan, I don't think anyone's arguing, and I appreciate the call. No one's arguing that we both agree, and I think a lot of people agree that Al should, at this point, should be coming off the bench. You mentioned it. Put Tobias at the four. Right now, Al's averaging 31 minutes a game. So if you have him come in off the bench, could he still get 26 minutes? Probably 27.
I thought there was a great stat the other night, is that Budenholzer, 30 minutes. Giannis averages 31 minutes. Nobody plays more than 30 minutes.
Giannis is at 31 minutes?
31 minutes.
31 minutes. And you got on the Sixers, you got three guys.
Oh, I know.
Four guys.
I'm just saying.
Five of them. They're all
like,
31 minutes or more.
It doesn't. He uses his guys. He's not worried that somebody's going to say, I need more minutes. I want to be out there more. He's in it for the long haul. And if he can do it with Giannis, you sure as heck can do it with anybody else.
Well, nobody complains when you're winning either.
No.
Right? And here you have Joel complaining about, well, I didn't get the ball the other day. So then the next night he goes out and he gets the ball and he's missing. And then Ben's only taking six shots. And you know Ben very well hears the criticisms. And he's also hearing when Joe says, I'm not getting the ball enough. So I took Ben's six-shot performance the other day as, all right, Joel's going to go out there and complain that he's not getting the ball enough, so I'm not going to shoot, and I'm going to give the ball up. Did you take it that way?
I always think that Ben's just going to do what Ben likes to do. No, I'm serious. Yeah, I think he digs his heels in that I'm a really good basketball player.
Yeah.
I'm an all-star.
Mm.
Look at my numbers. I lead the league in steals. I'm a top-notch defender. I went and got you 14 boards. You know,
yeah.
I think he looks at it differently. Mm. By the way, we made a big deal about, you know, what Shaq said during the game.
Yeah.
But when he talked to both of them at the Super Bowl, and I think this was worthy, that he was there and saw Joel and Ben, and he said he had the conversation of, you two got to figure it out. You don't have to be best friends away from this, but you got to have respect for each other's games on the court, and you got to figure it out.
Well, they're there in the booth together, in the suite together.
Right, right. But yeah. And I think coming from a guy who it's been documented
and
what his
Kobe.
Relationship with Kobe was,
yeah.
But they won championships.
Yeah.
And they figured it out. And one of the things was that when one guy was struggling, the other picked up his game.
Right.
And vice versa. And these two, they don't pick each other up.
The only time I see Ben really picking up his game is when Joel was out.
Yeah, Joel's out. You know, that might be fit, but to me, at the end of the day, you guys do play basketball, right? You know what complements people.
And the expectation is winning together.
Yes.
Which they've done to a certain degree 2 years in a row, enough to get to the second round. This year, right now, as a 5 seed, I don't even know that they get out of the first round. Max in Allentown, you're on Ice and 5, the Fanatic. What's up, Max?
Well, you got that right about the first round. Listen, you could attest to this. My narrative is that Embiid and Simmons cannot play on the floor together. They're just not effective. You know what? If you switch their brains, they would be great together, because then you'd have Embiid on the block, and then you'd have Simmons launching up 10 threes like Embiid did the other night. I mean, that would be perfect harmony.
Good chance he makes three like Joel did,
yeah,
too. Good chance he makes 30%.
Yeah, you know what? And it'll stretch the defense and give the post player some room to operate. You know, everything would be working. But unfortunately, that's not how it is. That's just not the type of player they are. And, you know, that falls on Elton Brand. That falls on Brett Brown. And, you know, they're not going to be able to get this thing done unless they trade one of these guys. And Charles Barkley said it best, you know, on TNT. He said, this team is soft. They got no heart. They're the Cleveland Browns of the NBA.
Yeah, and I thought that was a little too harsh in calling them the Browns. Browns haven't even won anything, so I think he got the wrong team
either.
There. Yeah, well, at least the Sixers are a 50-plus win team 2 years in a row who've won
the
first round at a playoff. So
I think what he was alluding to was
the hype, right?
And also guys, you know, Embiid talks about being the most dominant player in this league. Ben talks about working on his game, and I'm coming back with a jumper. You know, to come back and be the same guys is what I think he was referring to. That you promised, and you actually got us to believe. And here we are, no better for it.
And the new narrative for me now is something I learned at the Super Bowl, and that is seeing the owner, one of the owners, Ruben, clout chasing with Simmons and Embiid and all those guys. While they're on the road, they have a game the next night against Miami. So I see them all posing, having a good old time at the Super Bowl when they have a game the next day. So I saw, I'm like, oh, I got to see this betting line. And it was Miami minus 3.5. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow, why is it so low? Miami should be like favored by 10. It scared me because Vegas is usually right on the money, but I went and I put a big bet down that the Sixers get blown out, and they lost, what, by 25?
Wow, you cashed
31.
In. Yeah, that was a smart, and thanks, Max. Appreciate the call. That was a wise move out of him. When you see those guys out there with the owner, everybody who has witnessed, who viewed that, who looked at it, views that as it's bad. It's bad optics. It really is. And we don't know what they did right afterwards. They could have gone right back to the gym and shot 300 free throws and 9,000 three-pointers. I don't know what they did.
I'm pretty sure that didn't happen.
I would think you're safe to assume that, Dave.
By the way, I thought one of Elton's great... I didn't want to paraphrase it. One of his other lines yesterday was that... He's talking about Ben. He is going to improve his shooting, and when he does, he is going to unlock another asset. Unlock another asset. Now...
They're still holding on to that hope. I'm not giving up on that hope. And the more... You see him stubbornly be set in his ways. You think that that's crazy, but I don't know, man. I think at some point, some way, somehow,
well, it'll
get through to him.
It's going to happen one of two ways if it happens, and I'm not convinced it happens. It is going to happen when he is coached by a different person, possibly. It is going to possibly happen when he is no longer playing with Joel Embiid. Or it's not going to happen because you just look at it statistically. You know, you're fifth in the league in assists. You're first in steals. You average 17, 8, 9, and 8. And I think he would say, you know, what's wrong with that?
He's top 10 in field goal percentage, D.
Oh, I know. Well, that's part of why he doesn't shoot.
I wonder how much that really factors into it. When you look at the numbers and you want to be top 10 field goal percentage, and he knows if he's shooting more three-pointers, he's 2-for-6 this year. If he's shooting more, that percentage is going to go down. Let's get to Steve in Delaware. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing today?
How are you?
I'm just disappointed, and I've come to the realization, like most people have, is that you need to break Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons up because you're not getting what you need, and you're not getting a championship-quality effort out of either one of them. And it's time to move on, and I think the hope that Ben will unlock that part of his game is just I don't think that's ever going to happen here. And I'm okay with that, but... The reality is that you need a team that is offensively balanced, and which they're not, and this roster just is a testament of it, because you just, when you have two stars like that, it shouldn't even be something that I should have to say that one will pick up the slack for the other in their absence. And
well,
you can't get that,
those
can't get that from
though,
the bench.
Steve, those changes can't happen now. Like, the trade deadline
just
passed.
Yeah, you're left with what you have.
Yeah. What they have now is what they have to go to war with, go to battle with. I hate to even use the term or comparison to war. That's what they have to go with the rest of the season. Unless they get one of the guys who were bought out, this is what they have. So the conversation that you're having about Joe or Ben and one of them going, that's an after-the-season thing. How far do you think they can go now with what they have?
Not far. I think that, like I said, they just keep getting exposed. They're a terrible road team. No one has picked up the offense. No one has picked up the offensive load between the two of them. So it's just like, I can't depend on someone to, you know what, I'm going to take the offensive load no matter what the game is. I don't know who's going to show up.
The numbers are very comparable for who they've been since they've been in the league.
And at this point, I should know if I have two superstars on my team, I should know who's going like this. I should have a good enough feeling to know that, hey, if Embiid's hand is messed up, that somebody's going to pick up that Ben Simmons, going to pick up the little offensive lane. He just isn't doing it. And it's just like, it's frustrating because I don't care how good the defense is. If you don't have that offensive firepower, you're not winning games.
No, and you're right, Steve.
I won't be surprised if he is out tomorrow.
Joel,
mm-hmm.
because of the neck stiffness combination,
you can use the whole combination of that.
Shouldn't need him to beat Chicago anyway. The question is, should he even be playing in the All-Star game? You know he wants to, and you know Giannis made him the number one pick.
Well, let me tell you, if he plays tomorrow and against the Clippers,
which is Tuesday,
it becomes his choice.
However, if he misses the next two games...
I mean, I know.
Don't you think either way, it's his choice?
Came out a little
given
strong,
who he is, it shouldn't be his choice. But don't you think it will be his choice because of the way what we've seen?
I mean, can I honestly tell you? I don't know what contractually, meaning the league and the Players Association, collective bargaining agreement. Because I read an article with Doncic and Cuban, you know, and they're in the seventh seed out west, and his health. You know, he's had a couple of injury issues, and
Cuban don't want him to play.
It's a discussion about playing in the All-Star, and then go to even a different level. You have the league who, I mean, they sell this All-Star weekend to a lot of people, and
can he play and not play? He can
not play a lot of minutes. I mean,
not play a lot of minutes, and also you certainly there's no defense in the NBA All-Star game, so you don't have to worry about him banging in a low post.
Oh, right.
He's going to just throw up some threes. He's going to.
I mean, he's a starter, so he goes out there as a starter. You know, I can recall in the past, Karl Malone's the one who comes to my mind, like towards the end of his career. Where he didn't play many minutes in that All-Star game.
Well, you just show up. You can take part of the whole... Well, we'll see what the next two games look like. And if he's out, you know he's going to want to play against the Clippers. That's for sure. You're going to need him against the Clippers. Chris in Pensauken, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
What's up, PB&J? The best sandwich in America. Love you guys.
Thank you, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. I don't know what's in the air, but people are crazy today. It's not working. They can't play together. You got to get rid of one of them. If I recall, this is our third year in a row. We're going to win 50 games. Totally structured differently all 3 years.
Yeah.
I think the soul, but these are symptoms. The problem is, unfortunately for us, is ownership and Elton Brand. They pulled their shoot too soon. The kid's 25 and 23. You grew up in basketball with your dad. Kids like that are very difficult to win championships in basketball in the NBA. It's a man's league. Not many guys do it. Giannis is different. He isn't a regular dude, a regular cat. So I'm not getting rid of either one of them. You're all crazy. And unfortunately for Brett Brown, like I told you, Rob, I wouldn't call him an enabler. He's the great uncle that let you sip a beer at 16 and said, don't tell your mom. There's no structure. And I'm taking a shot, and I know he didn't come up big out there, but I'm taking a shot that if anybody can have some structure and real toughness and maybe get Ben to shoot the ball, I'm bringing in Mark Jackson. I'm rolling the dice. He did well when he coached before. He almost got him there. And I think he'd be a heck of an asset to put his boot in a professional way up a couple of these young men's rear ends.
What do you think, D? You like Mark Jackson?
I'm not going to argue
Brown
that he... What's that? Well, the question was asked if I like Mark Jackson. I think I'm going to answer that for myself. He's a good analyst. It wouldn't be the first person I would choose to bring somebody in here. To me, I think you probably go in the direction of who's had success with dominant centers and how did they have that success. It might be an area that I look at. That would be...
What do you think of this, too? Before, I was totally against it. But know what? The kid wants to go work out with Magic Johnson. He ain't part of the Lakers anymore anyway. He sits by pools. He takes his own plane ride home. Let him go work out with Magic Johnson. What's it going to hurt?
It doesn't hurt. But there have been, I'll just tell you, that he wants to. I'm not sure he does. I mean, he said at one point, I know there was that communication, but, you know, he's been offered if Herb McGee could help him with the shot. He doesn't have any interest in that. There's a shooting coach on the Sixers staff. He doesn't have interest in that. He wants to work out with his brother. So these are choices that he's making.
I get you, and I know.
Real quick, Chris, what do you got on the Phils? I know you wanted to say something about the Phils.
On the Phils, I cannot believe that owner is just skating by when dudes are all over the place getting signed. I will never, Rob, you know that. I grew up in that sport just like you. I will never buy a ticket down there with me and my kid there. I'll listen to it on the radio. This is a three-card Monty, man. You guys have a blessed day.
Appreciate it, Chris. There's more and more people who feel that way about the Phillies. As far as, you know, you make those comments last year, and you go out, and they spent a lot of money last year. He put his money where his mouth was, and they spent stupid money last year.
I won't be surprised if he said, I said it, I would spend the stupid money last year. Year.
Yeah, he did it. He did it.
He's like, that didn't mean I wanted to spend stupid money forever.
And like when I asked him about it.
Does it look like stupid money to you?
No.
There we go. Yeah, thanks, Josh. It does look like stupid money to me, John, because you didn't win last year, and you are not positioned to win this year. Right. And
and your division gets better.
They're fourth in their division. They go into spring training right now. Now, could guys have career years? Could guys play up to their expectations?
And could
potential?
Those other teams?
Injuries, whatnot. Yeah,
you have no idea,
happen.
But still.
The expectation now going into spring training is that this is an 84.5. That's what the numbers are in Vegas. 80 over under on win totals, 84.5. That's what I see. You got an 85 win team. That's not a wild card team. That's a fourth place team. That's not going to get people in the seats in September. We've seen Septembers here where 2 years ago with Gabe Kapler, first week of September, they're in first place or within a game or two, and nobody's going down there for a Nola Strasburg matchup. I keep talking about that one because I was there, and I'm like, wow, there's 23,000 people here for a first place showdown, and right now that don't look like it's going to be anything unless they actually win. Rob in South Jersey on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Rob?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hello.
Real quick, Rob actually just said something. Everyone's talking about Al to the bench, which is fine, but you can't have Al to the bench and still let him play 27 minutes. Because Al Horford starting, to me, you know, isn't the problem. The problem is Al and Joel. So if Joel's playing 30 minutes, that only leaves 18 for Al.
I said he could play the 8, let's just say 18 as the 5, mm-hmm. and give you 10 at the 4.
Together.
Yeah, well, they're only playing 14 minutes a game now.
Right.
So yes, limiting their minutes is what needs to happen. But just like the problem right now, in my opinion, is Al and Joel trying to figure out the floor.
Plus, so what you're saying is you don't want to see them on the floor together at all?
No,
not limited to six or seven minutes?
No, I actually do. I thought that's what you were saying.
No.
But like, at what point, if you're going to do that, what's the point of moving them to the bench?
Because now you're decreasing their minutes together. You're increasing his minutes at the 5, where you give. So Joel right now is at 31.5 minutes. Maybe you get him right at 29, right? You keep him at 29.
Oh, yeah, okay.
30.
So you're
the problem is that
I'm not playing.
Joel's not going for that, but
that's the thing.
I know.
That is definitely part of it.
I think Horford needs less minutes. He's 34. Like, at some point, I don't care how good in shape you are. It's bad. But if you watch Horford in the beginning of the season till now, watch his three-point percentage. Like, if Horford's shooting 36, his three-point percentage has dropped dramatically. So if he's shooting 36% like he was in Boston, this isn't a problem.
Well, wait a minute. But the difference, please, the difference is his volume of threes has increased.
Yeah.
The number of threes is so much less in Boston, which means they're probably specifically better-looking shots.
It's two. He's shooting two more on average. You know,
he's a four and a half.
That's a big number on average for an 82-game season. Come on.
So that's what I'm saying. I think I'm agreeing with you. I think we were messed up, but I think I'm agreeing with you. Is bench or no bench, starting lineup or no starting lineup, Al needs less minutes.
Yeah.
He's too old. He's too old to play 30 minutes a game. they're not even giving him days off.
25, yeah, appreciate the call.
The only thing I will say, you guys can say this, but who he has been these over this stretch when he's struggling, he becomes the guy in the fourth quarter that makes you actually big buckets. So if he's so bad,
I will give him
he has been clutched down the stretch. Yeah. So his struggles, you would think, would continue towards the end of the game, when in fact at the end of the game, he's been solid and strong.
I'm not concerned about him at 27, 28 minutes. I'm not.
He's
39. He's 33, 34.
He had his first month of the season, nobody would have complained. This all came after the fact, and you don't.
When he had
didn't
an injury.
Get all. His injuries. I don't think his injury is impacting him, and I don't think he got old in the last 6 weeks.
No,
it's related to the group.
The group, yes. The structure, the locker room, yep. The on court, the dysfunction that we've seen, as you said, on the court, and what they've alluded to off the court. 610-632-0975. We got some open lines if you want to get in, talk some Sixers with D Lineham. I'm Rob Motti. We are live from the Parks Casino.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
2:30, 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti and D Lineham live from beautiful New Parks Casino and Sportsbook, where you can watch the games, place your bets, and get great food and great drinks. Make sure you download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 610-632-0975 is the number to get in. D, we were just having an interesting conversation as far as the seeding in the postseason, and we're talking about what it is, what it looks like now, where if the Sixers stayed at the 5 and were to somehow find a way to beat Miami in the first round, which means it would require them to win at least one time on Miami's home court, and the only team that is right there with the Sixers, right? The Sixers got the best record in the NBA at 23-2 at home. Miami's right there at 22-3. They're the only two teams who have winning overall records but losing records on the road. Miami not as bad as the Sixers. So each home team wins each game for a 7-game series, and the Sixers would lose.
Yeah, I'll take my chances that Miami ends up 500. Well, you're either one below or one above because
right,
it's 41.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll take my chances that they are that. And when you are the good teams that play in the postseason, you have to be at least 500. Most are, you know, games above that. And Miami has a good chance of doing that. The Sixers' chances are
not at 9-19.
Nope.
If they can,
they're at that's 28.
Yeah, they got
13 games left. You need 10 wins to equal it. And then what do you do with the other three? So you could end up, but that's running the table.
They got to go 12-1 for a 500
above
winning record.
Yeah, yeah. No,
12-1
above.
If they go 7-6,
let me just tell you that at the Clippers, at the Bucks, are still on there.
Mm.
I believe they go at New Orleans somewhere down the road in April.
It's not going to be an easy. They said they're at Indiana later on. Oh no, they did that one. Let's see. So you got at Milwaukee.
Yeah, at Milwaukee, at the Clippers.
At Milwaukee, at the Clippers, at the Lakers. That's the 4-game West Coast trip to start off March. At the Clippers, at Lakers, at Sacramento, at Golden State. They still got to play Charlotte. Minnesota.
It's at the Pelicans, at the Grizzlies, and by the way, in April, those two that, you know, aren't a gimme for either one of those.
Three of the last four are on the road. At San Antonio, yeah, at New Orleans, at Memphis, then they're home to finish with Charlotte.
Right, but that's what I said.
Yeah.
Three of their final four normally are playing conference games. They're not. So, I mean, yes, you could change your record, but you're not. If you need to catch somebody, You're not playing the people you're trying to catch.
At this point, I think there are 5-6. I don't know how they make up four games. It's got to be four games against Miami. Miami's three ahead of them, but they lost the season series, so they can't finish tied. So they can't. It's not three games they got to make up. They got to make up four games to finish ahead of Miami.
I mean, I think that's why Elton was kind of setting the table yesterday.
Yeah, we're 5-6. He said six,
and
but
said the reality of this, and he has confidence that they will be able to get it done on the road.
Which means as a six
postseason.
Right now, it would be Boston.
Right.
Yeah, can they do that? They win in Boston already, didn't they?
Not most recently, but yes.
The first time around, right? They won there. So, yeah, I think they can. But if they stay at the 4-5 and they end up beating Miami somehow, that sets them up for the second round.
Which is
Milwaukee, yep. Which we think they do match up well. But seven-game series, I don't think they can. At this point, I'm not ready to say. I got to see what happens over the next 20-plus games before I can say they can beat Milwaukee. But you were talking about not this current seeding system, but a potential future seeding that Adam Silver wants to introduce, where it's not by conference, it's just league-wide.
Well, you still get in by playing in the East and playing in the West.
So you still can get the sub-500 East teams getting in, where you got the West team at, you know, not getting in.
One of the models is like you don't, but if you do that, and by the way, the WNBA has no. They do it by the best records.
Top 16 or top whatever.
Yeah, they're not the conferences. So it's interesting because they do. Like, I always look at the things they try, whether it's G League, WNBA. They're not all the same, but they're under one umbrella.
Mm.
And they try different things. Like this, I know it's only All-Star, so it doesn't impact. But, you know, he's trying a lot of different things this NBA All-Star weekend. And he's trying to throw out the tournament within the season for 2 years down the road.
You think that's realistic?
Oh, I do.
Yeah?
Oh, I do.
And all those games are going to count for your regular season record.
Count towards your regular season record, but there's a prize to win that.
And the reasoning behind that is to generate some more excitement for the run-of-the-mill, ordinary regular season games and get guys to play rather than load management?
Exactly. I mean, I think part of this, he's looking at his league's TV ratings and why are they going down so low. Now, I will say, everything I read from in the postseason, your TV numbers are good.
Yeah.
So people do come back, even if they're not paying enough attention for you in the regular season. But, I mean, he's always, you know, David Stern was very much forward-thinking, trying to make his sport a global sport, and he accomplished that. I think Adam Silver is now trying to say, how do we keep the audience engaged? And I think he does think about the younger generation, where everything they do is 140 characters, their attention span is, you know, I go to get a highlight. Yeah. How do I get them engaged and keep them interested?
Well, baseball certainly trying to go through that doing different things to get more people engaged, because you talk to more and more people who will not sit through a baseball game.
Correct.
They certainly will not sit through 3.5-4 hours, and people want to get their highlight. They want to get everything quickly.
I mean, there are things in the G League that they did so it could be a 2-hour game, period. Never go over 2 hours.
Well, see, I don't think NBA games are that long anyway, right? What are you, about 2:12?
The national games, to me,
they do go long. Yeah, well,
because they have those commercial breaks.
And they have to, because that's how they're making their money.
Correct.
As I'm staring at these standings, D, I look at the Raptors, 13 in a row.
I know.
38-14, 19, and talk about consistency, 19-7 home, 19-7 away.
Right.
And you and everybody disregarded the defending NBA champion because they lost Kawhi. They lost a top three player. Forget about them. We don't have to worry about them. That was the expectation. And then here they are.
It's unbelievable.
Number two seed. Is this the greatest coaching job that you've seen in the NBA in a while? Is it a combination of, like, Siakam taking his game to another level?
Well,
what's the explanation?
Some of that, well, I would say both.
Mm.
Siakam, he actually could win most improved player 2 years in a row. And I don't know that's ever
happened. Which is insane to
think. But he could do it.
Yeah?
He could absolutely. And if I had a vote for that one, I would literally have to seriously put those other guys up against him and tell me how they could be. I mean, what this guy has done from last year to this.
Yeah.
And what he had done from the year before to last year. was ridiculous.
Did you imagine this happening with this team? Once they lost Kawhi, didn't you think they were going to fall into that second tier?
Yeah, and I probably did not give Van Vliet enough credit.
That's another one.
In fairness.
Yeah.
Definitely. You know, Kyle Lowry, when he's healthy, is still, he's an excellent leader, and he's such a competitive guy. Mm. I am an Ibaka fan. Obviously, Gasol is Gasol, but I'm trying to think who they replaced, because Danny Green left too.
Yeah, it wasn't just Kawhi.
No, you lose shooting.
Yeah.
He was not great shooting in the postseason, but what he was for them in the regular season last year, he made shots. But I will say with Nick Nurse, and I know, you know, some people think he's a little on the confident side, will mm-hmm. I say. The guy has won wherever he is coached.
Well, I think you got a right to walk with that swagger,
sure,
and to have that confidence bordering arrogance when you've won,
yeah,
and then you lose two key guys, including a top three player.
And you're on a 13-game winning streak.
That's incredible.
You know, come on.
610-632-0975. Last chance to get in, talk some NBA, some 76ers with D. Lynam. I'm Rob Motti. We are live at the Parks Casino Sportsbook, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. The Fanatic.
And welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. She's D. Lynam. I'm Rob Motti. We are live from the beautiful New Parks Casino and Sportsbook, where you can watch the games, place your bets, enjoy great food and great drinks. Make sure you download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And also, D, if you want to outfit yourself in some cool Fanatic and Philly sports swag, lots of Fanatic and Philly sports team themed merchandise at great prices, from hoodies to long sleeve tees, mugs, caps, phone cases, tanks, and a lot more. The Fanatic Pro Shop has something for everyone, including our lady listeners. With unique Fanatic and Philly designs, go to 975thefanatic.com and check out the Fanatic Pro Shop, open now. I'm just saying, Valentine's Day is around the corner. I don't know what you guys are thinking out there, or the ladies, you know, it goes both ways. I never ask for anything. My wife says you're so difficult because I want to get you something and you never want anything. So it's... I just tell her, hey, whatever it is, I appreciate it. I appreciate you every day of the year, so I'm good. I've packed up everything.
I noticed.
I am ready to bolt because I got a daddy-daughter dance, the first one for myself and my daughters, Alexia and Melina, which is so cool because they're twins. I don't have to go to two different ones.
Yes.
I get to go to the same one. It's the first time we're going. I got to get home. I just looked at the traffic. It's now telling me I'm at 50 minutes to get to what could be, if there's no traffic, like 40 minutes. So right now I'm at 50 minutes. I got to get home. I got to change into a suit, and I got to get there. There's no chance we're getting there by 4, but I think they're okay with that.
Yes. It's got to go for longer than an hour, right?
It's 2 hours.
2 hours, yeah.
Yeah, because it's kindergarten through second grade. It goes for a couple hours. Then they got the older kids come in at 6 to 9 or whatever. It's our first time. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to it.
It's a good family event.
Told them I won't embarrass them with any dancing, you know, as long as they just said, twirl us around, Daddy. That's all. They want to be twirled. Do they have, mother-son dances, maybe? Do they? Do they have that?
I doubt it.
I know. I went to one in high school with my mom as
really?
A senior.
I never did that.
It was only senior year. A brunch? They call it. Yeah, that's right. It was a brunch. You're right. It was a brunch. It wasn't a dance. It was a brunch. You're right. But I don't know. I feel my wife's like, well, don't they have like a daughter mommy dance or anything? I'm like, no. You just get to do all the work and I get the celebration.
I do know that the school where my kids go, they always had a Donuts with Dad Day.
Donuts with Dad?
Yeah. They definitely did that. Meaning, and it wasn't gender related, just, well, it was the father, not the mother. But definitely donuts with dad day, I remember.
610-632-0975. You want to get in, have a conversation with us before we get out of here. We've been talking about the Sixers all day long. I'm excited. Listen, I know that there's been a lot of negative feelings about the Sixers, especially with the four losses on the road in a row, and then how some things shook out, and the game that in Miami where the day before they went to the Super Bowl, and the looks of that and the optics of that and all that stuff, and then it gets magnified on national television against Milwaukee on Thursday night when you have Shaq and Chuck, Sir Charles, Charles Barkley really laying into the team.
Well, a lot of people complained even the way Reggie called the game. They thought he was harsh on who the Sixers are.
Here's the thing, though. All of these issues and these flaws, we knew about them. They're just exacerbated because it's on national television.
Well, and the other, when you're 9-19 on the road, that is significantly different than any of the other contending teams in either conference. So you bring it on yourself, and you happen to be on a 4-game road trip, and you were losing all four. So in the moment, for sure, and that it has looked dysfunctional on the court at times, and that it has been this with these two stars for a couple of years, you know, you see where it comes from. I will say this, it just came across that Zach LaVine did not practice today, is questionable for tomorrow's game, in addition to Markkanen already being out. Otto Porter Jr. is out. Wendell Carter is out. Chris Dunn is out.
D, all the more reason for Joel Embiid and Josh Richardson to also be out.
Yeah.
Take a break. Don't need them tomorrow.
Yeah, the only thing, the issue, and I would love to see it come across Twitter, that those two newcomers have taken their physicals, are cleared, and they're good to go tomorrow.
That would be, and you want, that's the point where I look at it and I go, I'm looking forward to, because I try and get some positive out of it. I want to see what these two guys can bring to the table. I want to see how this team looks like over the next 20-plus games going into the postseason. There's a lot of ground that they have to cover to move up in the seeding, and they may very well not move up. I think it's a tough road to go to try and go from 5-4 or 3 because they're so far behind, 3 behind Miami for
they're
the
4. They're 5 behind Boston
for the 3. I don't know how you can make up 5.
They do have the tiebreaker with Boston, but
so that and knowing that they have not just the tiebreaker, but the fact that they won 3 out of 4.
Oh, right. Rather than catching them,
Find a way to get into that 3-6.
Right.
But then
the
if
only
you get that 3-6, then the next round is Toronto, where...
Well, you're playing Toronto or Milwaukee, so what does it matter?
Would you rather Milwaukee first or Toronto first?
Oh, only because I said of the matchup? I'll take either.
You'll take
at
either.
At that point, I think both of those teams have been consistent this year.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to figure something out.
And here's where you can look for a glimmer of hope, right? You beat Boston this year in a season series, 3 out of 4, which means you won at the Garden, which means if you win a 3-6 versus Boston, now you get Toronto in the second round, who last year, we think, right, is a better Toronto team with Kawhi and Danny Green.
Well, they're supposed to be.
Right? You took
the MVP, yes.
You took to a quadruple doink in Game 7.
Sure.
So maybe this year,
unhealthy Embiid.
Maybe this year with a healthy, hopefully, Embiid. We never know. You might be just trying to give people a little glimmer of hope.
But Toronto has played Ben very well, and they held Embiid scoreless.
Scoreless
in a game earlier this year.
Absolute zero goose egg. All right, let's get Brian in Turnersville. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian.
Hey, guys. I enjoyed your show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
A couple things for me. This year was just so disappointing because, I mean, we all expected Joel and Ben to kind of grow, and that hasn't happened. And to me, like, they lack that alpha dog mentality. Like, you know, you got to, losing Jimmy and JJ was huge for them. And I didn't think at the time it was that big a deal because you thought these guys would be ready to kind of step in, and that just hasn't happened. But what I really wanted to talk about was, Joel. I hear a lot of conversation all week about, you know, Joel or Ben or Ben or Joel, like, who would you pick? And I said this a couple months ago. I think I actually talked to D about this. You know, I think we may have seen the best days of Joel. They may be behind him just because of, the health is one thing. But, again, I just don't think he's the guy that we thought he was. And I always thought, like, there was room for improvement and growth. And quite frankly, I don't see him getting any better than he is. So, I mean, while I don't want to split them up, if you had to, I would definitely ride with Ben, not Joel, because I just don't know how much longer Joel can actually play, even at this level. Because I think
Brian,
right now he's deteriorating.
I hear you, and this is a conversation we will have in June, July, but we'll let D get to it. Appreciate the call. This is an after-the-season conversation.
It is.
I will say one thing. Joel's 25, so to say automatically is the best he'll ever be, I don't know that's fair.
I don't know that's fair, but I will say that his injuries, I mean, Ben stays on the court. Ben can play 41 minutes and look like he hasn't sweated. If that becomes part of the discussion in the off season, if in fact they're going to move on, I don't think either one's going anywhere this summer either. I think before you will have somebody else try this before you will ever split those two up.
And on that note, because those are the conversations we're going to have in June and July for sure, that does it for D-Lineham. I'm Rob Motti here at Parks Casino Sportsbook. Thank you to Josh Rabeck for a great job producing the show. Mike, Cameron, and Pat here. Stay tuned to Joe Stazak. He'll be coming up next. He'll take you until 6:45. Then we got Flyers and Capitals. Hockey 610-632-0975 is the number to reach the big dog, Joe Stazak. D-Lineham is back here tomorrow at, not here at Parks, but back in the studio tomorrow
right after
at
you.
3. And I'll be back at noon. Until then, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.